Tonight we're going to be in the first epistle of John. If you want to go ahead and get there with us in the third chapter. Praise God, I'm excited. I begin to read about some of the parts in 1 John. And when you begin to study in 1 John, there's four different things that you read about. Four different keys that 1 John tries to bring out. In chapter 1, verse 4, it's to add to their joy. When you read about it, he's talking to the general church because they make references to my little children. And there's never any parts where they single anybody out. It's just to the church. So I apply that to me in my life personally, to guard them against sin. You read that in 2:1. To warn against false teachers and to strengthen their faith in Christ and assure them of eternal life. You get that in 5:13, but we're going to be reading in chapter 3, because when I begin to read in this, it really excited me. So we'll start at verse 1 and work our way down, amen? So we'll begin in verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Praise the Lord. I began to read upon this, and God began to speak to my heart, and I begin to understand the phrase, sons of God. And I realize that as we come into the presence of God and worship together, that it doesn't matter whether I'm with my mother or my sister or with a friend or a brother or a mother-in-law, or doesn't matter. When it comes right down to it, we all come into God's presence all the same. That when we come into God's presence, that we all stand in need, all the same. That my heart gets broken, just as your heart gets broken. And therefore, when we come into God's presence, to me in my eyes, we are both the sons of God. And to me, I feel like that. For me to say that one person has less authority than I would to be able to call out to God is demeaning to you. Said that he had no respect of person. So when I consider that, I think that it has no respect of gender, has no respect of race, has no respect of wealth. That when we come to God, we come as we are. And that he accepts us, has no respect of all the things that we've done or all the things that we failed in. That we are the sons of God. That we can come to him and that he can use all of us. Praise the Lord. And I feel like that sometimes we're held back because of principalities of what man has tried to ride ahead of us or before us. But I'm telling you, if you feel the presence of God stirring you, then you feel that stirring you, then you have a right to stand up and worship. You have a right to be a son of God. If you have a right to, then I say you use it. I'm glad that it wasn't hindered and held back for the addicts to not be a redeemed child of God. I'm glad that we weren't exiled on some island to say that the addicts didn't have a place in the kingdom of God. I'm glad that I have a right to be a son of God just the same. I'm glad that he didn't look upon a certain group of people and say, you have no right to be a son of God. Praise the Lord. He looks on all of us the same. No age requirement. He looks on the heart. Doesn't matter what gender. Doesn't matter what you might say of me, what you might judge of me. You can come to God and bring all of it, and he'll accept you just as you are. There's so many churches that are hung up on doctrine, that can't get to a place to be able to worship, because they can't get to a place where the Spirit is free anymore. And God determined and wrote in his word that all of us that will have a place that we could be free. He who the Son sets free is free indeed. I am free and you are free. You have the ability to come to God without any hindrances or bondages to you. So don't let anybody tell you you have no right. Don't let anybody tell you that you have no place. You have a right. You have a place. You have a position in the house of God. Well, where is that? On your own two feet. You have a voice. Where is that? Lifting it up to God in worship and in praise. Enemy's trying to silence the church with anything that he can. Anything that he can. And I'm here to tell you that I am just one voice. But we as a church are a unified voice if we use it together. But the enemy's silencing the voices of the sons of God. And we've got to learn who we are. Go ahead and just say it with me. I'm a son of God. Don't you believe it? Don't you know who you are? Don't you know you're a redeemed child of God? Go ahead, I'm a son of God. Go ahead. Don't mind me, I'm a son of God. I'm redeemed. I'm set free. Praise God. You can declare that each and every day. You can remind yourself of what you possess deep down inside of you. What are we reminding ourselves all so often? Oh, I'm depressed. Oh, I'm upset. Oh, we remind ourselves of everything, but I'm redeemed. Oh, I have the power endued from on high and the ability to walk with boldness and my head held high to believe the God that I serve. But yet we don't walk with that boldness. We don't walk with that authority. We walk in fear. We're supposed to fear God, not fear the enemy. We're not supposed to fear man. We're supposed to fear God.
Amen.
To fear God is the beginning of wisdom.
Amen.
Not to fear the enemy. We fear men. My peer pressure. Come on now. I'm a grown man. I don't fear peer pressure. Don't tell me. We all suffer from peer pressure. They try to push you into a corner. Think that you don't need to obey the Lord because they don't obey the Lord. Come on now. You have a voice. And if they all want to decide not to obey God, that doesn't mean that you do have to. You have a voice. If people want to grow silent and let the rocks cry out for them, that doesn't mean that you have to. That means that you have a right to step out and take the power and authority that God's given you. You see, I'm excited about what I have inside of me, and I don't have to have anybody tell me exactly what God's placed in me. I don't have to be reminded of the power that God's given me each day. It's stirred in me every day because I listen to what God's speaking. It's not something that the enemy's going to come by and say, Jared, you have the power and authority. It's by God's voice that speaks and reminds me. It's by His Spirit that you walk in victory.
Amen.
I'm a son of God. I'm redeemed. I'm not in bondage. No longer. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law. For sin is the transgression of the law. And you know that He was manifested to take away our sins. Jesus Christ, right? And in Him is no sin. Praise God. Whosoever abideth in Him sinneth not. I'm going to go on, but we're going to stop right there. Whosoever would be so willing as to abide in Him. Don't have to live in bondage. You don't have to live that way. You might be persuaded that life has to be in misery and depression and oppression and affliction, but if you so choose to abide in what God has laid out for you at the table, you can rise above it. Praise God. You can volunteer to get up and have the mopey Mondays if you want to, but that's by your accord. God laid out a path that you can abide in something better.
Amen.
You might not view depression as sin, but I do. I do. You know why? Because when you walk around moping like that, it's a gateway to take you somewhere else. You walk around in depression long enough, you'll eventually take it out on somebody. And those words are as weapons. I'm telling you, those words are as weapons. Don't tell me that depression has never led anybody to suicide before. Those words and thoughts are as weapons against you. But if we abide in God, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. If I choose to abide in the Almighty, I will prosper because nothing that comes against me will prosper. Nothing that comes against me will prove victorious because I'll be equipped with that which will prove itself true. Not which is in me, not which is in me. When I was born in this world, I was already born to fail. I was already born to die. I was already born in sin. But that which I can abide in, which will be able to endure, has been laid out before me. And I can so choose to serve that master each day. How many of us know that? I can so choose to walk in, abide in, abiding. Come on now, somebody get with me. Abiding is getting in close. Getting in close. Having fellowship. Not letting it get far away. I choose to abide in a presence that keeps me. Choose to abide in something that's not going to let me fail. Not going to let me walk back into temptation, because it reminds me, Jared, you're stronger than all the drugs that you used to do. Jared, you're stronger than all that lifestyle that you used to lead. Jared, you're better than saying those things. Jared, you're better than doing those things. You can abide in something that will not fail you. In abiding in that presence, that unlocks the phrase that He will never leave you nor forsake you. You abide in Him, you'll never fail, because He won't leave those who abide. Praise God. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen Him, neither known Him. Uh-oh. We try to live in sin, try to transgress. We cannot live a life in victory. Junior, we just can't do it. We have to turn it all over to God. We have to lay it all down before God. No matter what it is, no matter if it's big or small, we have to lay it down. And I feel so often in my life that I've came so far, and I feel like, God, now's the plateau in my life where I can finally stop having to lay so much down. That's not the case. In fact, I find that it's even greater and greater more required of me. Uh-oh. Come on now. Greater and greater and more is required of me to be able to draw closer to God, that I would be able to be of help to somebody. There's a difference of being a blessing to somebody and being a help to somebody. Being a blessing to somebody ruffles their feathers, makes them enjoy it for 5 minutes. But being a help to somebody helps them get saved. Helps them get delivered. Helps them walk into a stable life in Christ. And that's where I want to be in my life. I want to be a help to somebody. I don't want to just be a pleasure to their ear. I want to help them. But we can't be of help to nobody unless we're abiding in that which can help them.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. I can't help nobody if I'm living in sin. How many of us know that? I want to say that's common sense, but at the churches you go to, Spirit of God's done dead. Come on now. It's dead out, dead and gone. And you wonder, how could it be so drawn up and gone? Well, you can generally start with unbelief, or lack of fellowship, lack of love, or then you can get right into sin. But ultimately, sin is the root of it all. And it don't matter what kind of sin that it is. But if we live in our sin too long, it hinders our walk with God. No walk with God, no fruitful life for others. No fruitful life for others, no agreement in the church. No agreement in the church, no help for nobody. No troubled waters, nothing for anybody to draw anything from. You understand where I'm coming from tonight? I want to be able to come into a place where I can agree with my brethren. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God, in uppercase, referring to Christ. If you read up towards the top, it's lowercase, referring to the sons of God, which would be in reference to his people. Come on now. For the purpose of the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. How many of us know we're born of God? How many of us know we're born of God? How many of us know we're born of God? I'm not persuaded. How many of us know we're born of God? If you're born of God, then you know that you cannot walk in sin. Uh-oh. You know that you cannot walk in sin if you're born of God.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. For his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. Lord, just let me repeat that. In this, the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. Uh-oh, we're going down that road. For this is the message that you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. We know that we have passed from death unto life, because we love the brethren. Well, halt. Again, we know that we have something that's alive in us, because I have a greater love in me that looks beyond my faults and your faults and your faults. And I'm no longer a judge. I'm no longer a judge. But I'm a saint. You know what saints have? They have mercy. They have forgiveness. I'm no longer a judge as the world once was. I'm redeemed. As Christ redeemed me. I'm no longer like that. And I know that I'm changed because I have a love for others. And not just a, I love you, how you doing, casual Friday love. I'm talking about a, if you're in need, I'll get past myself to be able to help you love. I'm talking about a, it might be 2 hours past my normal time to leave church, but I'm going to get down and help you pray love. Amen. Come on now. I'm talking about a pushing past my flesh so that I can help the Spirit of God manifest itself greater in you, love. That's the kind of love that counts. And if that love's not in me and I don't have that love for others, and if you recognize that in you that that's lacking, we've got to improve our love of God. There's got to be more life in us, because that love should just flow from you. It should just absolutely flow from you. I should not have to fight to have love. And I have to work on me. I used to be the most hateful person. And I used to be the most shy person. But God is working on me that I have more love, compassion, and be able to encourage those around me. And I'm still learning, you know, that I'm still learning, and I'm not perfect. And even in my flesh, I fail and I miss things. But God's showing me how to have more love and more compassion. Because I realize when I miss it. I realize when I miss it. And God shows me, Jared, you got to do better. There's people that need you to have that love. There's sick people that I tell me week after week that people should have come and visited me. There's people that are ill right now that need us to have more love to go out and go after them. Come on, church. They need somebody to bake them a dish or go by and tell them that they love them or give them a phone call, if anything, to remind them that there's somebody alive out there that cares for them. People feel forgotten in this world, and our love is so thin. And God's showing me that I need more in me. I need more in me. And the only way that I get more in me is if I go deeper in Him. You understand? The only way that I have more compassion to want to see the lost saved is if I go deeper in God. I can't make myself go out there and do that. I could try it for a few weeks and make myself make a go. I'm going to go out and see all the sick that I can every day. But I'd get burnt out, Brian, and I'd be done with it. I'd write it off and I wouldn't do it for another 2 years. But if I grow deeper in God, there will be a compassion in me that'll want to go. There'll be a drive in me that'll want to reach out. You won't have to beg me. I'll be calling you up and saying, will you please go with me? Will somebody help me reach out to them? Can somebody help me pray for them? Church, can somebody help me tonight reach out to those that are lost and dying out into this world? Church, can you dig down in your heart and find that first love in you so that the love can begin to grow? I'm telling you, our love cannot wax cold in these last days. Oh, the Word of God talks about our love beginning to wax cold, and I'm fearful that people are missing our love because we're not being close to God like we should be.
Amen.
I'm ashamed of myself because I think, what about if I get sick in the future and there's nobody there? I would hope that somebody come by. You know what I mean? Everybody wants somebody to reach out to them. You know what I mean? Everybody wants somebody to have somebody to reach out and say, hey, I love you. And it don't take that much. love to reach out to somebody and remind them that they're still alive. You don't have to give them any money. Come on now. You don't have to do anything extravagant. You just have to reach out and remind them by the Spirit of God that they're still alive. You have to just reach out and fill up that which is in them that feels empty. Just reach out and say, brother, lift yourself up today. God is here for you. Praise God. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, Jesus Christ. And we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. I hope I'm in a place in my life right now where I would say that I would. But we can only say that we will by the Spirit. If we go out these doors and we don't convene for 2 or 3 months at a time and don't abide in God's presence, I wouldn't expect you to say you'd lay down your life for me, or vice versa. No abiding in God's presence means no abundance of love in your heart. No abundance of love in your heart means you begin to grow cold, draw away from God. Drawing away from God means that all the qualities that God instills in you begin to leave you. Then you're left with yourself. How many of us have been left with ourselves? I don't like living there. If you're there today, get out of there. Get out of there. Come back to God. I got tired of being lonely. I got tired of living life by myself. I got tired of feeling like I had no answers. Tired of feeling like I had no solutions. Got tired of feeling like nobody loved me. I finally came to God and finally felt His arms come around me. Finally felt what it felt like to be loved. You know the true love of God, you'll never feel forsaken.
Amen.
Never feel like you're left out. Even when you're by yourself in a room in a desert island a million miles away, you'll never feel alone. But we have to be in a place as a church. And I'm talking about this in love tonight. When we are able to lay ourselves down, sacrifice our time and our money. And our time is more valuable than our money. How many of us really know that? Those of us that are grown older and wiser know that our time is more valuable than money. Those that are younger don't realize that yet. I realized it. Finally come to me. As I've gotten a little older, that time is more valuable. If you're willing to give up your time for others that need you to reach out, they might not even appreciate it when you do it. But guess who sees? You're stepping out. You're loving your brethren. You're moving to their need. God does. God does. And He'll bless you for moving out and doing what He would bid you to. We're going to finish the chapter, so we're almost done. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? When we're out there, consumed, caught up in all that, we can't. That's the point of the question when you read that. We can't. We have no compassion when we're caught up in. We can't. When we're caught up in everything else in this world, we can't have compassion for all that's in front of us. Because we're too busy. We're too busy with life. Too busy with everything going on. And then when something finally happens, we're so busy we can't hardly even stop what's going on to face it. Somebody's in the emergency room. Well, hang on, I've got to take care of this first before I can get there. Somebody needs this money to help them. Well, I've got to pay these two other things first. My life's too busy to help them. I know that's tough, but it's life. I know it's tough, but money's part of life. Time's part of life. We got to learn to be able to move to people's needs. And you're talking to somebody that didn't want to give up his time. Didn't want to give up his money. Didn't want to give up anything. I was a selfish person, but I wanted God more than I wanted my money. I want God more than I want anything else. Nothing else is worth it. You go out and you try to find anything that is more worth. Go ahead and try to search. Everything in this world rusts and fades away. You read in Ecclesiastes how all of it is vanity. Not that they were condemning everything in this world, but that they were saying that all of it is not of worth. Not in comparison to what God is to you. Not when you compare it to what God is to you. All of it will fade away. And if anything is more important in your walk with God, please change your life. There should be no substance, no object, no lifestyle, no thing, no object, no idol that is before God. Because if it is, you're making life harder than it should be. It's harder than it should be. The moment that you put God first, I'm telling you, life will go downhill. Life will go downhill. Life isn't without trials. We didn't post any guarantees around here that life isn't without trials. But when you walk with God and not against it, when you allow the Word of God to shape you instead of refusing it, it's like riding on a bike going downhill. When you refuse the Word of God, you're on the bike going uphill. Or it's like the man in the illustration pushing the rock uphill that never makes it all the way over. And eventually he gets almost to the top and it rolls back on top of him. You ever seen that? That's what I compare me sometimes when I go against what God's trying to speak to me. Pushing the rock all the way up and then just coming right back down. When I should just listen to what he has to say. And hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence towards God. So what's that saying? If something speaks to your heart, God knows. It's time to change it. But if you walk each day and you don't feel anything pricking or convicting your life, then you're all right. You're ready to go. But if God speaks something to you, He knows what needs to change. Amen? We cannot act like that there's some kind of veil that we can put up before God and say, this sin, you cannot see. You cannot see what I'm doing, so Lord, I'm going to get away with it. Can't do that. God knows, all right? God knows, and we have to bring those things to Him. No matter how silly we think it is. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. Uh-oh. We're getting in there now, and this is His commandment, that we should believe on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, as He gave us commandment. And he that keepeth His commandments dwelleth in Him, and He in him. And hereby we know that He abideth in us, by the Spirit which He hath given us. To close, I would say, we have to believe in who we serve. And then go a step further and know that it's more than just believing. I do acknowledge each and every day that Jesus died for my sins. I believe it. I believe it with all that's in me. But don't you know there's more to it than just believing upon that? I've got more than just believing upon Jesus. I believe that He's more than able, thank you, to move for my needs. And whatsoever we ask, come on now. I'm not going to be ridiculous and ask for things that are just out of, you know, the absurd. He said He would move for our needs. We are the sons of God. You have the right. And nobody would be turned away. Ever. If you wanted to come. And I remember, I'll share this and I'll get out of the way. God will let me. I used to feel so backward about coming to God because I felt so condemned about everything I'd ever done. I used to think, Lord, I've done too much. There's no way, God, that You could forgive me. God, there's no way. After everything I've ever said, everything I've ever done, Lord, there's no way I could come. After everything I've ever done, there's no way You would forgive somebody like me. You don't know everything about me. You don't know everything that I've done. But yet when I called out on God, it didn't matter, Gary. It didn't matter. I felt that love of God change my life, and my life has never been the same, and I will always be redeemed. I know what it feels like to go from not feeling God's presence to feeling a warmth just to enter me and let me know that, Jared, you're fine. Jared, get up from there, you're delivered. Jared, it's all right. Jared, get up from there. You're changed. You're free from your sins. Jared, you're forgiven. To be able to sit up in confidence and not feel the bondages of sin any longer. Do you know? Do you remember, church? Do you remember that day? Do you remember coming into God's presence? Felt so unworthy. And I even feel so unworthy at times, even today. But I remember that by His grace we're here. And I know that we live in times where it's hard to even lift our head up out of the bed and give ourselves a reason to have purpose. But I'm also reminded that the presence of God is there to be our joy. It's there to be that we need. So that He'd be there closer than a brother. That He'd be everything that we ever needed. That tells me that if I'm in need of being lifted up from something that made me angry one day, that God's going to come by and lift me up from that which is trying to make me angry. Or if I'm in need of something that's trying to depress me, He's going to lift me up when I'm depressed. That if I'm confused about something or need something, some wisdom in my life, that God is going to be the wisdom for me. That if I'm sick in body, that God is going to come by and be the healing for my body. Amen. We miss it because we don't ask. And we don't ask because we don't believe. And we don't believe because we don't unlock our faith. And we don't have faith because we're afraid. But church, don't be afraid. Don't fear the enemy. Trust the Lord tonight. Amen. Trust God. Remember the night that you called out. Remember your experience. Remember how sweet it was to come in and feel Him. He's still the same. He's not changed.
Amen.
I asked God a long time ago, Lord, don't let it get stale on me. Lord, don't ever let me grow stale. God, help me to be refreshed for the rest of my days. Don't ever let me be satisfied or comfortable. Lord, put the thorns under me that I'll keep moving. I don't ever want to be in a place where I can't give Him praise. I'd be worried about me if I wasn't moving, wouldn't you? I will get worried. If I don't see the fruitfulness in your life, I get worried. I'm concerned. And I want God to flourish in your life. Amen. The only way that you flourish is by your obedience. Faith without works is dead. Faith without obedience. Come on now. Faith without stepping out and doing what God's called you to do. We're walking in death. Don't talk like that, Jared. I can't help it. I can't help it. I'll say this and I will get out of the way. But we have got to begin to move everything aside that would be in the way. How long are we going to ride the mercy of God before we step out and do what He's called us to? That mercy train might just run out one day. I'm not talking about His grace. But by His grace we're here. I'm talking about Him being merciful on disobedience. I don't take advantage of His mercy. I don't want to take advantage of His mercy. He's merciful to us when we sit back on Him and don't obey Him. But how long are we going to do that? I don't want to face the judgment for disobedience. I'd rather face the judgment for obedience and be held accountable for obedience than disobedience. Two different things in consideration. Now, pillars, you know who I'm talking to tonight. Those who understand the words that I'm saying right now. We have to begin to get off that mercy train and abide in what God's trying to do. Well, there's just not a time for me to do it. Believe you me, if you're ready to mind God, God will make a way for you. He will open a door for you, and there will be an anointed, appointed time. If you feel like you have to force it, just wait. It'll come. There's been some times where I thought, Lord, I wanted to preach that message right then. But then it was like 2 weeks later, and I waited, and it was more effective then than what I thought it was going to be at that time. God, that should be on a t-shirt. That there is an anointed, appointed time for everything. If you'll listen to what He's wanting to do, I wish you'd sing for us. I'm going to do an altar call. I'm so glad to have Mona with us tonight. But I want to do an altar call. And I do feel like there's needs in the house. And church, I want us to execute the art of the altar service the best that we can. How do we do that? If God speaks to your heart to go after somebody, just step out and go for it. Just, brother, would you like to pray tonight? No? Okay, I just wanted to ask. What's so hard about that? Nothing. We make it hard because we say no. It's easy to just do it. It's not your fault anymore if they say no. It's your fault if you don't ask. We're missing that part if we don't ask. Altar service, to me, is just as important as the Word of God. Word of God is not fruitful to people unless we begin to sow into what has been planted. Praise and worship breaks the ground. Come on now. If we don't use praise and worship, just let the preacher get out in an entire garden with a hoe and try to break it himself. You'll wear your preachers out that way. But anyway, after the preacher tries to sow the seed, then you get to the altar service where you're supposed to water it and saturate it with that prayer. Come on now. Recognize that. Help people. If you see people that are ready to move and ready to go, just ask them. It's their choice to turn it away. But it's your responsibility to obey the Lord. So I want you all to get a song. Pretty, pretty please. And we can go ahead and stand tonight. Let y'all stretch your legs for a minute. And we'll just take, as long as this song is, a few minutes and just either pray out loud or pray in your mind. Just, if God speaks to you to go after somebody,